Stand to your feet with me. Let's welcome Dr. William Bumpus. Great to have you tonight.
Joy being here. Amen. Let's give Jesus Christ a good hand clap. Amen. He is worthy of our praise. Well, you may be seated. Amen. Well, I thank God and praise him again for being in the house of God again tonight. Amen. I stay fired up. I mean, I can't help myself. I just stay fired up. The Lord just was, I was wondering, well, I knew why. Well, I didn't really know why. You know, see what I'm saying? But, you know, like I on this trip here and other trips, you know, people look at, well, you've been gone for a week. You're preaching for a week. You know what I'm saying? And you look at how, you know, it could be tiresome and all that kind of stuff. But it's refreshing to me. You know what I'm saying? Because, well, the word, I got to get the word before you get it. So if I'm preaching a week, God is feeding me a week, all week. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? So it's a revival for me. When I, you know, and not only that, but then, you know, everywhere I go, I enter into their worship. You know what I mean? So everywhere I go, I'm getting refreshed, you know. So I've been here in Kentucky this time, came down Saturday to Mount Sterling, Kentucky, and went into the Montgomery County Jail and had a wonderful time, ministered to the women and the men. It's just, you know, God just so great. The jailer, well, the volunteer that goes in there, his son is the head of the jail. And when I comes in, he like for me to minister to everybody in the whole jail. I mean, that's some real favor. Amen. And, and so we just had a wonderful time. Bunch of them got born again. You know what I'm saying? And so then Sunday morning, I ministered in the church in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, called Faith Christian Assembly. Now, it's an independent charismatic church. Amen. You got to watch them words, you know, independent charismatic church. And I've been going down there, I guess, for the last, 15, 16 years and ministered there. You understand? Had a wonderful time. And then after that, I went to my, got another ministry, on the golf course. You have to minister to people on the golf course too, right? So, so I went and played 9 holes of golf, you know what I mean? And, didn't lose no balls. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? Then came to, Lexington, Grace, church there in Lexington, and ministered Sunday night. And then Monday, y'all saying, drove to Madison and met Pastor Kim, ministered in the Indiana Women's Prison there. And they packed it out. The women packed it out. I mean, they gave us another room, and they was crammed in the room. They were sitting on the floor. They were sitting in the hall behind me. And you really got to watch and pray when folks is in prison behind you. How many know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? But I had faith. I knew God was back here with me. Amen. Yesterday, and it was good. And a bunch of folk got saved there. And then Tuesday night, I was at Frankfort with Pastor Philip, and that was good. Wednesday night, I was in Moorhead. Wonderful. It's really really awesome seeing how God blessing folk. You know, I think it was last year or year before last when they was on Main Street down there, and it was really awesome to see how God gave them another building. You know what I mean? Plenty of room. And I mean, we just had a really good time there. Then I'm here tonight. We're going to have a great time here tonight. Already having it. Then tomorrow night, I'm at Midway, which is Friday. Yeah, Friday. Midway. Amen. Saturday, I head probably down towards Louisville, and I'll be in Louisville Sunday morning. And then I'll go home Sunday night. Amen. Refreshed and on fire for God. Amen. Which is the only way to live. And so I know you are also. So I'm going to give you a word tonight. Now, don't get nervous now. I got to say this, you know, I got to mention something about prison. I'm 66. Amen. And I'll be 67 in December. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm halfway to my 120. Amen. I'm working on 120. You understand what I'm saying? Unless Jesus come first. Amen. Now, if he come first, I'm going on the first load. Amen. You can go mid-trib, post-trib, the end of it, anytime you get ready. But I'm going the first time, first available, out of here, I'm gone. Amen. And most of you know, and I'm not going there, but all my life I was a criminal. Y'all know that. And I started doing time when I was 17. So from 17 to 31, I was in prison, in and out of prison and jail. And then from 31, after I got born again, to right now, I've been ministering in prison every day. So you said 66 minus 12, because I started getting involved in crime at 12 years old. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, but I only started going to prison 15. But 12, so 66 minus 12 is what? 54. So I've been involved in prison ministry every day for 54 years. Now, how can you talk about anything else? You know what I'm talking about? This how you've been living and talking. And I mean, for 54 years, what else is there? But anyway, praise the Lord. But I know everybody here ain't been to prison. So I do have a word for you. In Hebrews chapter 11, and I think I got 3 hours. Oh, okay. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, which we all know. But faith comes by hearing. And it says, and I'm reading our New King James Version, like I tell the guys in the joint, that's the one Jesus wrote. You know, New King James Version. All right, I can already tell what's going to happen here tonight. Amen. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a destroyer for those who diligently. It don't say that? No, it says he is a what? Rewarder. And like I share with guys and people all the time, he's not a rewarder of everybody. See, that verse don't say that he's a rewarder of every Christian. It says he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. So, you know, the other side of that is if you don't diligently seek him, you might not get no reward. And I thank God for rewards. Now, I said, it's like one psalm said, forget not all his benefits. Is that right? Y'all remember that psalms there? Psalms 100 something. Amen. But it said, praise the Lord, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. I like it because of the S on the end of that, benefits. And most Christians, y'all say, not y'all, because y'all are informed Christians, but most Christians, especially those in penitentiary, y'all say, who ain't even Christian, and a whole lot of other folk, y'all say, they feel like the benefit is going to heaven. Now, that is a great benefit. But that word didn't say benefit. It said benefits. So that means there's more to this than just going to heaven. Amen. Of course, he lists the benefits, you understand, in that Psalms there, lists the benefits. So there are benefits or rewards for serving God. Now, and the thing about it, and I like to minister along these lines, you understand what I'm saying, all the time, it don't make no difference who you are, where you come from, you know what I mean, because he said it's to whoever diligently seek him. You know, I mean, just a side journey here, but this is free here. The rest of it's going to cost you. But this is free. You know, a lot of folk hear the faith message. Which is all I know. They hear the faith message, the prosperity message. You know what I'm saying? Now, Satan has several tools that he uses. You know, the Bible says, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. And he has several tools that he uses. One of them that he uses, especially on guys coming out of Jordan and other folk, you understand, is, well, it's easy for him to say that. It's easy for him to say how God meets your need and everything. After all, he's a preacher. I know anybody never thought that in here, but I mean, Satan says that. And you know, so they go into churches and stuff like that. They're getting offerings and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's easy for them to believe, amen, that God can meet their needs financially. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not preaching nowhere. I don't even know nobody. So Satan will use that on some folk. Other folk, don't get nervous now. He'll use the things like, well, yeah, that happens. That's for white folk. Quiet. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and I'm black, man. I'm from the hood. You understand what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, ain't no money coming down here unless I make some. I mean, you understand what I'm talking about? You know, so my point being is, y'all know I'm telling the truth, but my point is, Satan uses stuff like that, and especially when I'm dealing with guys, he uses that also. Of course, you know he uses it with them. You know, they coming out of penitentiary with all these records, and where they going to get a job? You know, they got felonies. How you going to get a job? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I deal with them while they're inside there, you know, and let them know that. You know what I'm saying? Praise God, you believe in God for a job when you get out, because everybody is believing God for a job when you get out. But I said, you know, I keep it real. You know what I mean? Okay, praise the Lord. You believe in God for a job. What if you don't get one? Now, that's just as real, amen, you know what I'm saying, as getting a job. In fact, that's more real. Don't get nervous now, amen, of not getting a job because, you know what I'm saying, you got a felony. You know what I mean? And the world, how many know the world's getting worse and worse and worse? You know, that's what the Bible says, and you can't have faith against prophecy. I mean, you know, Matthew 24 said the world going to go down, basically. You know, I mean, is that right? We all know. You know, it's going to get worse and worse. That's what the Bible says. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. You know what I'm saying? For the world, but it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter for the Christians. Amen. And we can have all the faith we want to, but we ain't going to change prophecy. And so, you know, as I share with them, you understand? I mean, you got college graduates not able to find employment. You got folk, you understand, with all kinds of degrees and everything, having to settle, you understand, for entry-level jobs and all that kind of stuff because of the economy. And yet, you understand, here's a guy in the joint, people lying to him. Feel like, you understand, that them employers out there is gonna skip all them educated folk, amen, and give you a job and you know for sticking up banks. Now, something wrong with that picture. I mean, oh, you understand what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? So you're gonna have to start where you start. You know, you're gonna have to start with, but God can take care of you, don't get nervous now. That's what we're talking about, faith. God can take care of your never work. Because he said he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder for them that are fully employed. In verse number 6 right here. See it? But without, it don't say that? No. He says that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So that means whoever diligently seek him, whoever diligently seek him, God's going to reward you. Well, now that's wonderful, but what is faith? Since I got to have faith, I mean, what is faith? Well, I got a nice little term that I use, you know what I'm saying, I don't deal with too many scholars. You know, now I tell some of the guys in the joint, I call them theologians, those are the ones who think they know everything about the Bible. You know what I'm saying? So I always got messages for the theologian in the house. You know what I'm saying? You know, like they can't mess with the red ink. How many know what I'm talking about? The theologians, you know? But anyway, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I got to have a definition. You got to have a definition that's biblical, but at the same time, at a level where everybody can understand it. Especially coming out of joint or people off the street or anything like this here. So what I found out was faith, amen, is simple. Number one, it ain't got nothing to do with feelings. You know, just like salvation. Probably ain't none of y'all. But in 30-something years, I woke up some mornings and didn't feel saved. I mean, is that right? You know what I mean? But I knew I was saved and had nothing to do with the feelings. How many know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? I knew I was saved because salvation don't have nothing to do with feelings. Thank God that we get some feelings. Amen. When it's praise and worship going, there was some good praise and worship y'all was doing. Amen. I really got into that. Amen. But thank God for feelings. But sometimes there is no feelings. So just like salvation ain't based on feelings, faith ain't got nothing to do with feelings. So that means everybody can qualify. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, what is faith? Faith is acting on God's word. Now, you can't get no deeper than that. I mean, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God is filled with faith. Amen. That's where you get it from. That's the only way you can't pray and get faith. Let me say it again. Now some people might feel like they prayed and got faith. You understand what I'm talking about? But faith don't come by feelings. Faith comes by hearing. Now, how many know? I mean, we know that's different because you ever notice that hearing and feeling is spelled different? I mean, you ever notice that? Yeah. Unless you know it's two different words, you know what I mean? So faith don't come by feeling. Faith comes by hearing. Amen. So and hearing, y'all say, has got to be by the word of God. So that means everybody can qualify, or everybody does qualify. You know what I'm saying? If you're born again, God already gave you faith. That's how you got saved. See, most people think they got saved by grace. So I'm preaching, y'all, like I preach to convicts. This is how I preach to convicts. And the reason why, because everybody in here is one. Everybody in here is an ex-offender. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody in here is an ex-offender. I say, amen. You might not went to prison, but that ain't because you didn't do nothing. Amen. Yeah, just didn't get caught. How many know just didn't get caught? Amen. Yeah. You know, those that's in there is the ones that got caught. Amen. But everybody's ex-offender, so this fits for everybody. But it's just going to help you, you understand, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So how are you going to believe God for the job, the car, and everything else you believe in God for if, number one, we don't know what faith is? So you got to have a working definition so that I know when I'm in faith. You know what I'm saying? That way it ain't got nothing to do with feelings. It's acting on God's word. You know what I'm saying? Now, faith is acting on God's word. Bible definition. Okay. Luke chapter 5. I'm just going to quote it for the sake of time. You can turn if you want to. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. You know, Jesus came there. You understand the crowd was filled. But before Jesus came, Peter had been out there all night fishing. Is that right? He had been fishing all night and caught nothing. And then Jesus shows up on the scene and said, let me use your boat. So he let him use the boat. He goes out a little while, preach to him. Then after he preached to him, he's all right, Peter. You know, say, thanks for letting me use your boat. You can plant some seed into my ministry. Now it's ready for your harvest. Go and get your nets, you understand, let them down, you understand, you'll catch a whole bunch of fish. And Peter said, basically what Peter said was, you know, now this is Buffer's translation. Amen, but it fits. You know what I'm saying? Peter basically said, yeah, hold it. Now I'm the fisherman, you the preacher. I've been fishing all night. Ain't nothing out there. You know what I'm saying? Plus I am cleaning my nets. Ain't nothing out there. Not only that, but fish don't even bite. I mean, the fish he was talking about. Amen. They don't even bite in the daytime. If there was, I'd been fishing in the daytime. I'll fish it all night. Ain't no fish out there. But, so I won't seem to be so disobedient, I will go and get one of these nets. Now, I ain't getting all of them. I spent too much time cleaning them nets. You know what I'm saying? You know, not knowing nothing out there. But I'm going to be polite, you understand, because you be the reverend. Amen. I mean, you understand what I'm talking about. So he went and got one net. We all know the story. He acted on the word of God, went and got the net, dropped the net, you know what I'm saying, caught so many fish, right, that the net broke. And not only that, but the net broke, and he had to call all his partners, and he lost half his harvest. I mean, everybody got in on his harvest because he wasn't obedient all the way. But thank God he got some anyway. Amen. That said 24, 34, 44, 100-fold. I mean, know what I'm talking about. So what happened there? How did he get that? He acted on the word of God. Faith is acting on the word of God. We all know Peter, you understand, Peter didn't walk on no water. Right? No, Peter didn't walk on no water. He walked on the word. He said, okay, if that's you out there, you know what I'm saying, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Peter stepped out there. What he did? He obeyed the word of God. How many know he obeyed the word? He acted on the word. And when he acted on the word, he started walking on the water. Then he took his eyes off the word and began to sink. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. You know, so faith is acting on the word of God. The Bible says, out of two or three witnesses, let every word of God be established. I think that's three. But I'll give you one more. I could keep on going, but I'm going to give you one more because I got someplace else to go. Amen. I'm just opening you up. You know, you can't put new wine in no wineskin. I ain't saying you're a wineskin, but I'm just saying that's what the verse says. What about the lepers that came to Jesus? Remember the lepers that came to Jesus? You know, told him, said, you can heal us if you want to. Jesus said, all right, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible said, as they went, they were healed. They didn't get healed before they acted on the word of God. You know what I'm saying? In fact, now you know it had to take faith or belief in God. You know what I'm saying? Belief in his word in order for them to act on the word of God, because the law said if you show up, you know what I'm saying, around anybody and got some leprosy on you, you're going to be stoned to death. So when Jesus told them to go, they hadn't been healed. They didn't say, hold it, man, hold it. What do you mean go? Ain't nothing happening here yet. You know what I'm saying? Man, I get close to that temple down there, they're going to get some bricks out there. You know, if folks love hitting you with a brick. You know what I'm saying? And they could have said, but they didn't say that. They acted on that word, and when they acted on the word of God, how many know they got healed? The Bible said, as they went, they got healed. So I found the secret, you know, which anybody can do. It don't matter whether you're old, young, penitentiary, out of penitentiary. Find the word of God that promises what you believe in God for and stand on it. Do what it says and see if God will not pour out blessings upon you. Now, I'm a faith man. Don't get nervous now. I am a faith man. I got a hold of my spiritual father. It's Kenneth Hagin. And I got a hold of Kenneth Hagin while I was incarcerated. Didn't know nothing about him or anybody else, you understand? I got baptized in the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues in jail and didn't know what it was. I mean, I was speaking in tongues, you know. I mean, man, I was speaking in tongues, you understand what I'm saying? And I was all right in jail. You know what I mean? Because the brothers was there. Amen. It was about 5 or 6 brothers in the Bible study. They is the one to share with me about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? I read a book. That's why I love books. You know, and I read a book by Morris Sorella talking about the new anointing. And in it, it was talking about how you can get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Well, at that particular time, I'm trying to convince my mom and everybody else that I had changed, because I had at least prayed. I had prayed a prayer as Jesus Christ coming to my heart, but nobody believed me. They thought I was trying to get some, you know, commissary money. So they was writing crazy, you know what I'm saying? So I read that and I said, okay, now if I get this, whatever this is, where it say you speak in another tongue, then they know something different about me. If I'm speaking in whatever this tongue is, and then it said lay hands on the sick. That's where I was at. And I said, boy, if I could get this, lay hands on the sick, and boy, somebody get healed, then mama now, you know, mama and them. Amen. That's all the rest of them. They will know there's something different about me. Amen. And so, you understand, we went downstate. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Whatever you hear in abundance is what you're going to believe. And so we went down to the Bible study. You understand, it was a preacher taught the Bible study. He was apostolic. Don't get nervous now. And he believed in tarrying. Amen. I didn't know any better. Several brothers in my group, you understand, they had been to church and seen it, but they never had done it. You know, they hadn't been filled. So, and he gave us his experience. He said how, you know, Spirit of God came upon him and he shook and blah, blah, blah. You know, so faith comes by hearing. That's what we expected. That's all we heard. So we begin to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. 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 You know, and the only thing we got was lightheaded. But we kept on. 2 or 3 days later, ain't nothing happened. You know what I'm talking about? And so we go back down the next week, and he said, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit visits y'all up there. And at the cell. So we get in our cell again, we praying in tongues. And so I never will forget, you understand, that I'm reading a full gospel magazine, full gospel businessman magazine. And, you know, in them magazines, everybody getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm reading a story in there, you understand, about this guy, you understand what I'm saying, who had got born again. And then he's believing God to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And it don't happen right then. And so he backslides. He wind up on a boat somewhere, and the boat capsized. He winds up in the water, treading water. Nobody's in sight. He know he's getting ready to die. You understand what I'm saying? So in his dying breath, going down third time, he repents, rededicates his life to Jesus Christ. He passes out. When he come through, somebody then pulled him up on the land, and he's so thankful, he want to tell them thank, and when he opens up his mouth, don't nothing come out but tongues. Now when I read that, man, I'm upset. You know what I mean? I'm smoking a cigarette. Don't get nervous now. A pale male cigarette. And then I said, Jesus, this ain't right. You understand? I love you too. You're going to fill it with the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden, my body began to vibrate. I mean, my body began to vibrate. And I'm saying, first thing I thought, maybe I made God mad, because I didn't know what I know now, by complaining, but I got a cigarette. So I threw the cigarette out. You understand what I'm talking about? Repented. You understand? But I'm still shaking. So as a guy that was more knowledgeable on the word than I was, so I walked down to his cell. I'm like this going down the range, you know what I mean? And I'm standing in his cell. He said, man, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know, man. I can't stop shaking. He said, oh, you cold, you know? No, I'm not cold. I just can't stop shaking. So he said, well, let's walk. So we kind of walking off, holding on to the bars, you know what I mean? It was a power of God. I just didn't know. So we got in my cell And he said, why don't we go in your cell and tarry? Maybe it's the Holy Ghost. And we sit down. And I said, that, and it came out. I mean, tongue just came out, you know, loud, you know, I mean, I didn't have no control, you know, just everywhere. Well, it felt good. I mean, no, it felt good. Amen. And when I got looked at the guy, he's crying. You know, his father pastored the church, you know what I mean? He had seen it before, just never had it. So he knew it was real. But I mean, you know, Satan messed with your mind. And so, it was all right in there with them brothers, you understand? But then I got my time, and I'm on my way to the prison. And they have what you call like diagnostic center, you understand? Something like they have here over at LaGrange, Rotary Forum. They have a little, whatever it is, you know, on your way to prison. And when I got, I didn't know anything about anything, you understand what I'm saying? I had never been to church before. But I felt like anybody had a collar, you know, a collar was religious. So they had a guy in there. I ain't naming no denominations. I don't want to hurt you. Had a collar on, and he was a counselor. Amen. And so I felt, you know, Christian, you know. And so I never forget. I went in there, and they say, well, you know, now if you had your choice of prisons, which one would you rather go to? You can pick two. I said, well, don't make me know. See, I'm born again now. I love Jesus. I'm telling everybody about Jesus. Just give me a chance. I said, it really don't make no difference, man. Where you go, where I go, I said, because I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and speak in tongues. See, I didn't know any better. He said, you do what? I said, I speak in tongues. He said, well, can you do that now? I said, yes, sir. Okay. And I did it right there in his chair in his office. When I got through, he said, what was that? I said, that was the Holy Ghost. He said, young man, that sound like a bunch of gibberish to me. Did you know that the devil has a tongue? I said, uh-oh, I got a devil. Went back to my cell, you know. I said, I ain't doing this no more. Until I find out what's going on. Well, they keep you in there. But every once in a while, the Spirit of God will come for me. I have to. You know, and I let it out, and I feel good. You know, then Satan said, well, the reason why. You're feeling good now, and you didn't feel good the other time, you're doing it too much. What was he doing? He was trying to steal. So anyway, I said, I ain't going to mess with this, you understand? So they finally let us out, and when they let us out, Jimmy Swagger was on TV back in the day. And, you know, he always cried and spoke in tongues. And I look on TV, this man praying in tongues. I said, wait a minute, that's the same thing I'm doing. So now I know he ain't got no devil. They ain't gonna let no devil on TV like that. You understand what I'm talking about? So now I know I got something. You know, I'm talking about how I got into faith now. I know I got something. You understand? So I can't wait to get to the prison. Because I want to find me a real chaplain to explain what happened here. Amen. We get to Indiana State. I get to Indiana State Prison, Michigan City, you understand? And I work in the kitchen, you know? And my first day out, you understand? I asked the guys in there, how you go to church, man? They said, church is right across the street there. When Sunday comes, all you got to do is just go on over there. You don't have to be in no line or nothing. So I go to church. That's Sunday, you understand what I'm saying? And I read the Bible. I just studied the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith is acting on the Word of God. And I studied the Word of God, and I've seen that it's all right to pray in tongues in church. That was my limited understanding back then. And so, you understand, Sunday was worship. Tuesday, you understand, was Bible study. Thursday was prayer night. Now, I'm trying to get a hold to the chaplain. You know what I mean? Because I want to do things decently and in order, but I can't get a hold to him. Thursday night, you understand, we getting ready. They're getting ready. I never forget it. Thursday night, this is what started all the drama. Thursday night, you understand, the chaplain saying, we're going to have a moment of silent prayer. And we was in the auditorium there, you understand, when they had movies and everything. Wasn't no revival going on. It might have been 10 or 15 Christians in there. And the way it was then, I couldn't control it. I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, it was quiet, and I heard it coming up. I said, no, Jesus, no, not now, not now. Yes, yeah. Next thing I know, I'm blurting it out. And when I opened up my eyes, several inmates over there is pointing at me, like they're going to do something to me. I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble in church. So I'm trying to get to the door to get outside. They cornered me in the corner of the church, talking about, brother, you out of order. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to go to the hole for speaking in tongues. You know, you out of order, brother, you shouldn't. And then all of a sudden, another brother come through there. And he said, no, man, leave the brother alone. Said when he was speaking like that, said, I got up to rebuke him. But instead, the Lord gave me an interpretation and said, all he doing is just been worshiping God. Oh, you would think everything would be lovely. The next Sunday, I'm in work, and I'm noticing now they ain't letting people in the church. The inmates is lining up. I come out, I get in the line. My turn comes, name, Bumpus, you can't go in. What? Can't go in the church? No. You had to be on the list. Well, how do you get on the list? Y'all just started this list. How you get on the list? Well, you wasn't there last. Well, I know nothing about it. Well, you can't come in. Well, they had took me out of church in penitentiary because I spoke in tongues. you know what I mean? And I had another brother friend of mine. You understand? So you know he filled up. So we said, man, we don't need him. Man, we have church on the yard. But I found out that sinners don't understand religiosity. And so we out there trying to have our Bible studies. We trying to witness the folk. And they said, well, y'all going to church over there? No, we're not going to church. Well, why ain't y'all in church? Because the chaplain ain't right. No, y'all ain't right. Because if y'all was right, y'all be over in that chapel. I mean, that's how they think. You know what I mean? So we see the only way we're going to have a revival here in this penitentiary, we're going to have to do what the word says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. We're going to have to act on the word of God and humble ourselves. So we wrote the chaplain, y'all stand, and asked the chaplain, could we come back to church? He called us in there, never forget. He had us in his office. He said, now, you know, over in another cell house, they're having tongues meeting. We can get you in there if you want to. You understand what I'm saying? We said, no, sir, we want to come to church. What are you going to do about them tongues? Well, we ain't going to speak in tongues in church. Well, if you can control them tongues, we'll let you back in church. And so there we are. Now I'm really confused. I know I got something real. You understand what I'm saying? But I don't know what to do. And that's when I found out about Kenneth Hagin. I read a book called by Rita and Dennis Bennett, amen, which was the father of the charismatic movement, if you will. And I read their book 9 o'clock in the morning. It was a prison ministry. That's how valuable prison ministry. And it was a prison ministry going on then called Lagos Prison Ministry. And what they would do, and I got this information from reading that book, in the back of that book, they would send Christian literature, spirit-filled literature is what they said, to any Christian that would write. That's why we do it. And I wrote, and they sent me a whole box of spirit-filled books. And Kenneth Hagin was there. Wasn't a whole bunch of them back then, you know what I mean? But Kenneth Hagin, all of them was in there. I began to study the gifts of the Spirit, flowing in the Spirit. Man, right, revival broke out. I got so full of the Holy Ghost, I was looking for devils in penitentiary. Now, how many know you can find them in the joint? But I didn't know what I was doing. I was learning. You understand what I'm saying? But see, faith. I was learning faith. I was acting on the word of God. I never forget when they still talk about this up there. It was a guy in there doing a whole bunch of time. You understand what I'm saying? And he had seizures, epileptic seizures. You know, and it was on my job one day. And I didn't study. You understand? You know me. You know back then it was devils. And I stood and I heard hit a grand mal seizure. That's where you make the noise. You know, and fall out. I heard him back in the back. And next thing I know, I ran back there. I ran back there. I'm standing over him. Come out in Jesus' name. And the devil looked up at me like, are you real? And I just stood there and commanded that devil. And you know that devil came out of him? And that guy was totally healed. And the word went out all through the joint, man. Bumpus is crazy. I found out by acting on the word of God, miracles happen. Well, you know, long story short, you understand, that's how I come out of penitentiary. You know, I come out of penitentiary. When I come out of penitentiary, you understand, and that's the reason why I do prison ministry, because Jesus walked into my cell. That's what the word said. I mean, I was all right. Don't get nervous now. I was smoking pale male cigarettes. 2 packs a day. Believe in God to get set free. And I'm praying and believing God, praying and believing God, praying and believing God. When I first got there, I went out there, youngsters, you know, to the yard, you know, the brother smoked a cigarette, and they jumped on me. I mean, not with their fists, verbally. You ain't saved. If you were saved, youngsters, you wouldn't have that cigarette hanging out of your mouth. Well, I knew I was saved in my heart because I said to myself, I'm saved. Because if I wasn't, I'd be in a hole right now the way y'all talking to me, pointing your finger in my face. You know, I'd be, you know, hit you upside the head, go in the hole. So I knew I was saved. Because I was just wrestling with this, you know what I mean? So I let them cast the devil out. They say it's a nicotine devil. So they sit me down, amen, got around, laid hands, come out in Jesus' name. I shook a little bit, went back to my cell, smoked me a cigarette. But I'm believing God. See, I'm putting the word inside, though, because that's where the key comes. The word, all the time, I know I'm saved. So I'm still putting the word in, still putting the word in, still putting the word in. But I said, I'm not going to smoke around them because I don't want to go through that no more. You understand what I'm talking about? And I'm putting the word in. And I come in one day, you understand, from work in the morning. I'm going to smoke me a cigarette, get my mints, then go out on the yard and have the Bible study. And I'll come, I ain't looking for Jesus or anything. Like, I ain't think about being no minister, preacher, or anything. I'm just glad to be saved. I'm trying to get enough word in there so when I leave out, I can look like I'm saved so my mama and all the rest of them can get born again. That's the only thing on my mind. And I'll come in my cell, man. I'm smoking, get to smoking the pail, man. I just lay across bed waiting for all the people to go to work and they ring the bell so you can go out. And I'm take my cigarette, lay my cigarette down, lay across bed like that, and all of a sudden the ceiling opened up like Peter had a trance. And I was in a trance with my eyes open. And I seen myself traveling all over the world. I see myself on all kind of television programs, radio, magazine covers, and all that kind of stuff. And at the same time, my cell door, and I'm on the third tier in a cell house. My cell door lit up, and Jesus stood in my cell door. And he said, go out and build me a prison ministry. And left. I was messed up for days. Now, I know why he did that, you understand, because, you know what I mean, if it was just with my mind, the way it was, even though I was born again, if it was just a vision, when things got rough on the outside, I said rough on the outside, when I was developing my faith, I would have said, well, it was just me, I just seen something. But there's no way I could deny both of them. I could deny the vision and the vision. Oh, you understand what I'm talking about? If I had just seen the vision, I could have fought that. I couldn't deny both of them. And, of course, it came true. Everything is sure. I've been on TV, radio, you know, all that kind of stuff. But my point is, then I had a word from God. Faith is what? Acting on the word of God. And so that's where I get out, you understand what I'm saying? And that's how our ministry was started. I got out, you understand? No church would open the doors for us, for me. To do prison ministry, because nobody know nothing about prison ministry. 1978, the only person that anybody knew anything about prison ministry was a guy by the name of Chaplain Ray. Anybody ever heard of Chaplain Ray? Wow. That's all right. He had a 15-minute radio program. He was all over the world, you understand, and he had a 15-minute radio broadcast. Now, Chaplain Ray, don't get nervous. Chaplain Ray was white. I'm black. Chaplain Ray ain't never served no time. Never was no chaplain. He just got that name. Here I am coming out of penitentiary talking about the Lord and called me to do prison ministry. Pastor was saying that the Lord, I believe the Lord told you to get you a job. I had a job. Lord told me to leave my job after I got married with my wife. And when he told, see, I'm coming to word. When he told me to leave my job, of course, some of y'all heard the story, you understand, so I'm not going to go there. But I mean, I wasn't going nowhere. But he told me to do it. He said, you can't work and do what I've called you to do. So I act what I do. I acted on that word. Faith is acting on the word of God. Was everything, let me tell you something. Everything was rough. I've heard some folks say, well, you know, it's God because it's easy. I said, well, if it's easy, the doors are wide open like that. You better watch who's sending you. Where's your resistance? I mean, if you're in the army, we're in the army. Amen. We have an enemy, right? And he does not want the gospel to go out. You know what I'm saying? So if you got any opposition, 9 times out of 10, you're doing what God called you to do. And man, I had opposition. I'm bringing it to a close. I usually have four of them, three. So I'm bringing it. I'm working on it. But I want to help you. I'm helping you. But man, let me tell you something. I was on paper for 4 years, parole for 4 years. With no doors open for me to preach nowhere, in no prisons or any place else. Wasn't even called. I'm going to church and everything. Man, for the first 7 years, me and my wife and the 4 kids that we had when I married her. Now, before I got saved, I didn't have no kids nowhere in the world. Doctor said I couldn't have no kids. I got married and the blessing of Abraham hit us. They started jumping out of there. You know what I'm saying? Hold it, Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'll take the prosperity, but hey, I don't want no nation. You know what I'm talking about? So, so after 5 of them, I said, girl, we got to do something. Hurry up and pray. Believe God. You know what I'm talking about? So, so they was coming out, and here I am. I can't work. I'm serious. I couldn't work. The Lord told me not to work. You know what I'm saying? And man, it's rough. I mean, I'm in the church, but they don't support what I'm doing. They don't know. They don't think I'm called. You know what I'm saying? I mean, man, and I was lacking in financial stuff. So as a result of that, for the first 7 years, we got evicted every year. I know y'all don't know nothing about that. Let me help you out. Evicted is when they say, get out of here for not paying your rent. And we go to a hotel, acting on faith. God said he meet all of our needs, calling it riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe these needs are met. I believe them, and then the money wouldn't come, and we get evicted. And then we get a hotel room. All the family stay in the hotel room. By this time, I'm preaching a little bit. I got a little storefront church going, you understand? Nobody knew that we was living in the storefront. I wasn't going to tell nobody because that's called spiritual kindness. I'm believing God. God going to do this. And then we'd be there a week or two, whatever, then God would move, you understand? Somebody asked me paint something or, you know, do some odd jobs or something. I get enough money, you understand? And we'd get another place, and it would always be better than the last one. Now, I look back. I figured out what the problem was, though. So a lot of times we think the problem is God, or we think the problem is our faith. Hello out there, somebody. But it wasn't. It was my ignorance. Now, the ignorance that I have, it's called a thing called priority. This is what I teach the men in the Jesus house. Priority. Priority number one, y'all know, I didn't know, though. Priority is number one is pay your rent. Believe God for the clothes and the shoes. Pay your rent. I had it backwards. I mean, God would move, say 2 weeks before rent come, I get to say $500 from somewhere doing a job or something like that. Now they didn't say it for rent, or you understand what I'm talking about. They just said here's $500 for painting the room or whatever I did. Just so I got $500. Now, common sense would say 2 weeks now you got to pay rent. Put that aside for your rent. But see, I hadn't been taught that. And before I got born again, I never paid rent. No, I couldn't see myself giving no landlord $500 when I can give him a TV or 4 or 5 suits. So, that's how I always paid rent. You know, $500, I ain't giving nobody no $500. You know what I'm saying? So, rent's due, okay, well, I got a nice TV, you know, I got some suits your size. You know what I'm talking about? So, that's how I always paid rent. And so when I got born again, my mind hadn't been renewed. My mind had been renewed to the things of God, but where rent was concerned and that money, my mind wasn't renewed like that. So I was thinking, you understand, well, I got $500 here. I'm going to go and buy me some J's. Don't get nervous now. I'm going to kid some J's, you know, Jordan. Just, you know what I'm talking about? For school and everything. And then I believe God for the rent. And rent wouldn't show up. After about 7 times, I figured out what's going on here, God. And he reminded me, pay your rent. Believe me for the shoes. You know what I'm talking about? But pay your rent. So I started paying my rent. How many know what I'm talking about? And I started. But my point being, I'm saying this, and I'm saying this to say, most people feel like you get into the ministry, you know, you got this great call in your life. You know what I mean? You're doing great things and everything. They don't know about the road you travel. They don't know how you got to the point, you know, where you can believe God for hundreds of thousands of dollars. But see, that was my training ground. You know what I'm saying? God knew where he wanted me to go. You know what I'm saying? That the ministry that I'm in, you know what I mean? You can't have no state, I can't get no state grants or anything like that because we preach the gospel. But I had to get to, but now how can I, the Bible said you that teach that a man don't steal, do you steal? In other words, how can I teach guys coming out of the joint that God will take care of your need, whether you got a job or not, if you just gonna diligently apply yourself, you know what I'm saying? If there is no example for them. I'm a living example for them, see? That's the reason why they always say, man, I want to be just like, if it can happen with Buffalo, it can happen with anybody, which is absolutely true. But like I tell them, they have to do what I did to get where I'm at. Hello, not that I have arrived, you know what I mean? I'm working on a whole bunch of stuff, but all my needs are met. Let me say it again, all my needs are met. And I teach on faith all the time, like I was, you know, teach on faith all the time. I thank God for your partnership. Amen. We do have partnership, but I teach on faith all the time, and I teach on faith all the time, and I always bring this out, especially in the church when I do get in church, which is hardly ever. Some help me out. Amen. I'll help me out. Thank God for Grace Fellowship, but with Grace Fellowship churches that I minister in, which about seven or eight of them when I come down. I only minister in about with seven, and there's like four other churches. I minister in about 11 churches a year. 11. Now think about that. I minister in about 11 churches a year. You know, most people think, well, you're going to church. Amen. See, that's where you're getting his money. That's where God bless him on them. 11 churches. And I ain't got no job. I haven't worked a job in 35 and a half years. No grants. No business on the side. I said, no business on the side. Every time I try to start one, Lord won't let me. And I know now, so I don't even try it now. I know now because of the ministry that I have. I have to set an example. Convicts don't listen to nobody. I'm just keeping it real. Convicts want to see a sermon. They don't want to hear nothing. The ones I deal with. I got a guy in my facility just now, 2 weeks ago, y'all stand. He just got through serving 38 years straight. Now, how you going to tell him how to live for a job is concerned? What are you going to do? He's been down 38 years. Went to penitentiary with an 8-year sentence. Little bitty guy. Wound up having to defend himself, so he caught 2 murder cases while he was locked up. And wound up serving, you know what I'm saying, 38 straight years. Thank God for the Jesus out. They told me, well, I was gone, you know what I'm saying. He'd been there like 2 or 3 weeks, you know what I'm saying. My wife was out there last Saturday, you know what I'm saying, on the parking lot. We got street ministry everywhere, all the time. We do all that. And about 7-8 squad cars, police pulled up. They want to make sure that he was living there. Where would he be if he didn't have no place to go? I know where he'd be. He's going to commit a crime. And keep on committing them until he get caught. But he got a place to go. But now he couldn't have no place to go if I didn't know how to believe God. Are you seeing God's progression there? And then they wouldn't want to come. They write me from all over everywhere wanting to come because they've heard how this guy got out of penitentiary, man, and God done blessed him. I need to go where he's at, you understand, so God can bless me. So that's the blessing that God has put on us. God has empowered us to prosper so that we can empower others to prosper. So I preach, when I preach like this in churches all the time, sometimes I have to say, I don't have to say it here, but most of the time I have to say this so people can be open a little bit and receive from the Spirit of God because, not y'all, but some folk, when you're talking about faith, they think, uh-oh, getting ready for the offering. Amen. I mean, don't get nervous now because that's what most people think. Most people think, that's why I say, most people think living by faith means, boy, they're struggling. You know, it's all, well, he's living by faith. He's struggling. I mean, it seems like it goes in the same, you know, same tone. Boy, he's living by faith. He's struggling. No. Living by faith is acting on God's word. And if you act on God's word, how in the world can you not prosper? You might have heard it before, but I'll close with this. Because it's proof, and I help folk all the time, God can get money to you from anywhere. 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 Well, you don't have to, and y'all know y'all don't do this, but you don't have to think, well, maybe it's going to come through the lottery, or maybe a rich family member, I don't know nothing about it, going to die and leave me some money. God got people all over the world. I close with this. I might have said it here. I don't know where I've said it here before or not, but this is how God proved it to me. Now, I'm struggling. Amen. You know, so we get a little storefront church, you know what I mean? Inner city. I got a convict church. Everybody in my church convicts or ex-convicts. Amen. I say amen. But everybody is. They're ministers now. They ministers. They take up the offering. Amen. They're my greeters. Convicts. We have others visit. Amen. But I got a convict church, a prison ministry church, if you will. Well, we started our little storefront church, you understand, in the inner city. You understand what I'm talking about? Inner city. I mean, inner city. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? And when I first started, and I had got to the point where I was going inside prison with other folk. Bill Glass, he taught me how to have mass evangelism inside prison. So I was going in prison with people learning how to be a volunteer. You know what I'm saying? And but my ministry, Jesus Inside Prison Ministry, we wasn't going nowhere. And so, you understand, one day I get a letter. The first prison that ever opened up for Jesus Inside Prison, my ministry, was right here in Kentucky. And that was the federal prison at Lexington. And I got a letter, you understand, from the chaplain there saying, we would love for you to come in and preach. Well, it used to be a co-ed place. It used to be for drug addicts, you know, for the federal system. But they was phasing the men out, and they were turning it into a women facility. It's a medical facility now. But they was turning it into a women facility. And so, man, I'm excited. This is for Jesus Inside Prison. They wouldn't let me in my state to go inside prison for 12 years because of my record. But I began going outside my state before I went into my own state. Got a name on the outside, then they begin to let me minister in my own state. As far as churches are concerned, like I said, I only preach in two churches in my city, in my state. Only two. Only two. Even now, only two. And that's once a year in each one of them. But anyway, move right along. But they support a little bit, so I thank God for that. But my point being is, I learned how to just trust that word. Because I had to. So there I was, you understand, we getting ready to go. We excited about it. You know, the devil, just before we get ready to go, he sends a big light bill for $1,000. That was big back then. And it was storefront church. The church was in, you know, the lights, utilities in my name. So we're going to turn the lights off at your church and your house. And back then we had the four kids and all of them was babies. And so, you understand what I'm saying? I'm thinking, oh, you know, Lord, I believe that I receive. Amen. I mean, you know, this ain't nothing for God. I believe I receive. Amen. Monday come by, and nothing show up. I believe I receive. Tuesday show, come by, and nothing show up. I believe I receive. Wednesday is church night. Amen. So I tell the saints, amen. God will open up the door. You understand? We're going down to Kentucky. You understand? To preach the gospel. You know what I'm saying? And but we got this big light bill, and we believe in God. So who wants to get in on it? Amen. Took up a big offering. Amen. $25. So I said, all right. So I will. And schedule a special Friday night service. We usually didn't have Friday night. We're going to Friday night service tonight. Amen. We got to raise this money. So we have Friday night service. I preached as hard as I could, you understand. Took up an offering. I think we got something like $45 Friday. Sunday, we got to go to prison. Sunday morning, you understand, we get in there, man, I'm preaching hard, you understand what I'm saying, talking about the soul that's going to be saved, you know, God's opened up the country for us and all that, you understand, took up the offering, I think we got $115. So I counted all my money together, we got about $200. And then the thought came, now you're getting ready to run down to that prison out there. You don't know who's going to be there. You don't know if anybody going to show up or not, where the inmates are concerned. And if they do show up, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, they ain't coming to your church. You ain't going to get nothing out of it. and you're going to spend all the money you got to get down there, and when you get back, your life's going to be off. That's how Satan is talking to me. And so the thought came to me, what you ought to do is just call the prison. They'll understand. Cancel it. And there goes your integrity. Cancel it. And then call the light company Monday morning and make arrangements on the light bill. You know, let you do that. I ain't got the whole 1,000. Could you take 200? How many of them I'm talking about? Well, you don't have to raise your hand. Praise the Lord. But this other thought, see, acting on the word of God is where the faith comes. The other thought was, the Lord said, you asked me to open up the door for you to preach. In prison, here's your opportunity. Are you going to obey? Are you going to believe me? Yes, sir. We're going down. Told my wife, she said, okay, I'm with you. We're going. So me and my wife and my daughter, we drove down, y'all stand, in our car. I had a 69 Eldorado with no shocks. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, yeah. We ride, you know what I'm saying? Ride all down. So I said, well, we might well enjoy ourselves. So we stopped off in Louisville, you know what I'm saying? Got us a steak dinner. Hey, man. Yeah. I mean, we going big time. Believing God going to move somehow. We don't know. He going to move somehow. Now, we know we ain't going to get nothing in prison because you don't get no money in prison. Them convicts better not have no money in prison. Now, some of them got some. It's called contraband. You know what I'm saying? But they better not show no money. And you know they ain't going to give up none of them cookies. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Everybody here better. You know what I'm talking about. They ain't giving them none of them what we call wham, wham, zuzu back in the day. So I'm going. I don't know how God gonna move. I never forget, man, because our first meeting, and we asked the chaplain later, you understand, over 300 women showed up for that service. They packed the place out. Well, and women in there and a few men, you understand, and a lot of them looking the same, you know, look like men, women in prison. And so I'm preaching, man, I'm sharing my testimony, how God worked miracle, got me out of prison. And, you know, man, I gave altar call and we counted 66 women raised their hand and received Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, the first meeting. Oh, man, am I excited. I'm excited, and I'm shaking the hands as they come up, shaking, going out, you understand? And I'm glad you came, man, and I ain't no man. You understand what I'm saying? It was a woman. Looked like a man, you know. But anyway, and I shook this one guy's hand, and he said, hold it, sir, I'm not no inmate. It's prison. He said, I am a volunteer. He said, I heard you was coming. I didn't know nothing about you, but I do Bible study here. So I wanted to come and check you out. And he says, and I really like what I hear. He said, I know how it is in prison ministry. So I want to give you a small check when you leave. That's prison. I said, thank you, Jesus. Now, my faith was small. I didn't know how to believe God. I was believing, you know what I mean? So I said, okay, Lord, if he give me $100, hallelujah. But if he give me $200, wow. I can call the light company Monday morning, how many know what I'm talking about, and make arrangements on that bill. Man, ain't God good. I go out there in the parking lot, that man opens up his trunk, pulled out his business check, and he says, you understand, now this is small, but, here, and he gave me a check for $1,000. It's in prison. Boy, we rejoiced all the way home. How many know we rejoiced all the way home? I found out that now, this prison, if God can give me $1,000 in prison, I mean, who knew that I needed $1,000? Them folk didn't know nothing about that. You know, I wasn't down there talking about no $1,000 inside the penitentiary. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't no spiritual economy in there. Hallelujah. You know, now, God knows how to meet your need. And I'll definitely close with this. A miracle happened right here at Grace Fellowship when I first started. I shared it for the first time at Moorhead last night. And the first time I come here, the second time, Pastor Callahan asked me to come down for the pastor's meeting. They had a pastor's meeting, my first one. And he asked me, he said, would you mind coming down and sharing your testimony? And I said, yeah, you know. He said, there'd just be some pastors here. Wonderful. So I drove down. Never forget this. And I went into my hotel. Man, they got me that nice hotel, you know, bar. Boy, it's living good. You understand what I'm talking about? God's good. And then my wife called me. Nobody knew. I ain't sharing it, but nobody knew this. Nobody knew. My wife called. And she said, they just cut off our telephone. I said, what? She said, yeah, the telephone, they cut the telephone off. I said, oh, man, you know, I forgot to pay the bill. Plus, I didn't have the money to pay it in the first place. So I told my wife, I said, well, I'm going to preach tonight, share a testimony. So I'm believing God, amen, that I get an offering tonight to pay, you know, to pay light bill. Light bill was like phone bill, like $167. See, I'm talking about this real talk. How many know this real talk? Amen. It's where you live at. Because these are the little things that bug us all day long is in bills. Amen. Not y'all, but other folk. Amen. And so I didn't tell. Now, who am I? You know I'm not going to tell nobody. You know I'm not going to stand up in Grace Fellowship. Y'all, will y'all please help me? Yes, help me. I'm believing God. So if I'm believing God, I don't need to tell nobody else. I mean, it's different where your pastor is concerned. You know what I'm saying? Because your pastor can come into faith with you. Amen. I say amen. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, these people don't know me. You know what I mean? So all I want to do is share my testimony because that's what God told me to do. You know what I'm saying? When he brought me out of prison, said, all I want is your testimony. So it always opened doors for me. So here I go. And I never will forget that. Never will forget it because it's the first time it ever happened. And I'm standing up there, you know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, gave my name. I'm getting ready to start sharing my testimony. And I'm sharing my testimony. And a little kid gets up. Walks down the aisle and put some money in my pocket. First time that ever happened. Look up, another one come down. I'm saying, what is this? Trying to share. Next thing I know, then it looked like everybody in there just jumped up and everybody ran down front, cramming money in my pocket, throwing money all on my Bible. You know what I mean? I'm still trying to give my testimony, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to stop and start picking up money. How many know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying, man, you know, and then they invite me over to eat. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't hardly eat, you know, from, you know, that old school. You know, I'm thinking I got a pocket full of money. I don't want nobody going in and getting nothing. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, so I got to eat and wash my pocket. I mean, man, I get back to the hotel. You know what I'm saying? They didn't put over $1,500 in my pocket. Now, who knew? I mean, it ain't never happened to me nowhere. Never, ever, ever. But that night it happened. I hadn't told nobody about it. And today, Moorhead is the first time I shared it, which was last night. You know what I'm saying? And nobody knew anything about that. But God knew. My point is, whatever you're dealing with today, God knows it. And all he wants you to do is just stay in faith. I tell folk all the time, and whatever you're dealing with, it don't matter, it might not be money, whatever it is. The word of God always works. The only way that a Christian don't get what they believe in God for is they quit. Galatians 6 says, be not weary in well-doing. Keep on doing what you know to do that is right. And then it says, for in due season, you will reap. So whatever you believe in God for, that's why I shared all that with. Whatever you believe, if God can bless me like that. I mean, like I said, in prison ministry, you know, that's why a lot of people don't get involved in prison ministry, aftercare facility, anything like that. It's too much money involved. And if I had to rely on my intellect or my abilities, you know what I'm saying, to raise money, we wouldn't have no prison ministry as big as ours. Wouldn't be as effective as here. We are the most effective. They said, this is what they said across the country, that we are the most successful reentry program in the nation. The Department of Justice says 80% of everybody coming out of prison on parole goes back to prison. 80% goes back. Our rate is over 80% of everybody coming to our facility never go back to penitentiary. I mean, they never go back. And they wind up serving God, married, you understand? We are highly successful. But here's the deal. It would never have happened. And it wouldn't be happening now if the Lord, and I don't take no credit for it, Lord taught me, amen, made me, basically. When he told me to quit my job, what else am I going to do? You see, when he told me to quit my job, I had to obey him. I ain't got no other choice. Because he told me to quit. I quit once, went back, and he told me again. Then I tell you, get out of here. You know, now, the second time, you know, he made it so loud, I thought my ears were going to bust. You know what I'm talking about? He was serious about that. As I look back now, I know why. Because where he got me at and what he got me doing, in order for me to do it with a pure heart, he has to be the number one. He has to be the source. See, notice what he said. Go out and build me a prison ministry. He didn't say go out and build you one. So I'm here to let you know, it don't matter what you're looking at. Maybe you're looking at a mortgage. Maybe you ain't had no job in a while. Things getting real rough. Turn your eyes off of that. Put your eyes on God's word. He said he'll meet every need. He will. Bible said, let patience have her perfect work so that you might be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. God is going to get you to the place where you won't even want nothing. That's where God wants the body of Christ today. That's where he wants y'all. Y'all get anything out of that tonight? Amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. Amen.